This is the Pundits Podcast, sponsored by BetBright.
So the transfer window's now shut, which means we can talk football again, which is quite nice. We've got a heavyweight clash in the Premier League this weekend, Liverpool and Man City. Let's focus on Liverpool. How strong do they look this season, and do they actually have a chance of winning the title?
Well, it's difficult to say in the Premier League, because obviously the Premier League is absolute madness in terms of, you know, who's going to challenge and who's going to drop away. I expect they will be better. If you look at that squad, they have improved. Whether they've improved in the areas they need to is another matter. But I do get the sense that, you know, Jurgen Klopp's first year was about restoring the identity of that club. He did that. Now it's really about kind of plugging the gaps, and the signing of Mohamed Salah, I think, does that to a certain extent. And Oxlade-Chamberlain's an interesting one as well. So yeah, I think they'll be better, and I can see them finishing in the top four again.
Yeah, I mean, just to kind of echo what Graeme said there, when you look at the teams in the Premier League, there's a lot of money swirling around, there's a lot of good players, but there are actually very few coherent teams there. We're seeing, you know, Jose Mourinho slowly but surely building a team at Man United. We saw Conte build one last year at Chelsea, that's why they won the league. And we obviously see Tottenham under Pochettino as well. You know, and those last two are probably examples of clubs who haven't spent as much as other teams in the Premier League, but they've managed to outplay them because they've got good squads. I think that's exactly what's happening to Liverpool with Jurgen Klopp, actually. I think they did miss some of their targets. I think Van Dijk would have been a huge miss, actually. I don't think I'm really surprised any Liverpool fans with that statement, but that defence needed an extra person. But to kind of accentuate the positives, it does look like they've got a better squad now, and it looks like Klopp has built a team that can rival the likes of Tottenham and Chelsea as a coherent title challenger.
And Steph makes a good point there about the kind of the continuity. We see last season we had Chelsea and Spurs finishing in the top two, and actually at the end of last summer, at this point we were saying, well, Chelsea haven't really done enough, and Spurs didn't do all that much either. They both made kind of panic buys in David Luiz and Moussa Sissoko. David Luiz obviously went on to become a key member of that team, but the continuity carried them above all the rest. You know, there had been a massive overhaul at Manchester United and Man City. That's been the case at Man City, certainly, again this season. So that could serve Liverpool rather well.
I mean, obviously, someone who's still there and part of that continuing squad is Philippe Coutinho, whether he wanted to or not, it seems. Do you think Liverpool made the right decision in keeping him?
I go against the grain with this one. I feel most Liverpool fans think it was obviously the right decision to reject Barcelona's offers. I think they should have cashed in. Now, I get all the arguments. I understand that if you accept £150 million for Coutinho, Virgil van Dijk's an £80 million player. Naby Keita, I know he's going next season now, but you know, he's a £80-90 million player. So the prices all go up. However, I think with the signing of Mohamed Salah was a really significant one for Liverpool. It means they don't rely on Philippe Coutinho in the centre of that team. They've got two wingers who can bomb down the outside. They've got Roberto Firmino as a false nine who can drop in, a midfield that can push up. So I don't think he's as important to this Liverpool team as he was last season. I would have used the money.
Yeah, he's definitely nowhere near as vital to the squad as, you know, as Graeme just said there. But at the same time, I think they're probably smart to hold on to him, actually. I don't think he's going to sulk for the whole season. And, you know, we'll probably talk about it later on, but the Liverpool team have the Champions League to contend with this year as well. So they're going to have to rotate the squad a lot more as well. So I can see Coutinho quite easily coming in for the likes of Saha or Sane or Firmino, whoever, and he'll do a job. He might, you know, Klopp might intentionally not rely on him as much as he has done, obviously because he might still inevitably be moving on to Barcelona, but he's still a huge player to have. And it looks as though, you know, Liverpool could still get most of their business done without having to sell him. So it's not as if they had to certainly bring another player in.
Liverpool and Klopp will maybe be selling Coutinho the Suarez example. You remember he almost went to Arsenal. He wanted to go to Arsenal in the infamous £40 million and £1 bid from Arsenal. Liverpool said to Suarez, okay, basically there was an unwritten agreement. They would let him go next season. They said, okay, you help us challenge for the title and you'll get bigger clubs than Arsenal. And of course, bigger clubs in Barcelona don't really exist in Coutinho's case. However, the same prospect exists in that Coutinho can help Liverpool challenge for the title this season and then go to Barcelona next summer and be an even bigger part of their team.
I mean, you mentioned Champions League football there. Obviously, Liverpool might challenge for the title. Say they do they have enough to challenge, or do they have a big enough squad, to challenge both domestically and have a good showing in the Champions League?
I do worry about that. I think particularly in attack, Roberto Firmino is playing as a, I hate this term, but as a false nine, as it's now called. You know, not really an orthodox number nine. He's dropping deep, and I do wonder if there are enough goals in that centre forward position. Daniel Sturridge, when Daniel Sturridge is fit and on form, he's pretty much as good as anyone in the Premier League. However, a fit and on form Daniel Sturridge is pretty rare. Divock Origi, you know, is a good option as well, but I don't know whether he's got enough goals in him either. So that is a concern, and defence as well is a real issue.
Yeah, defence is what's going to kind of trouble me. I think as we just mentioned, Van Dijk would have made a huge difference, but when you've got players like Matip and Lovren who have done fine for now, I think Liverpool fans quite rate Matip from what he did in the Bundesliga beforehand. I'm still a little baffled by that. I don't think either of those defenders are Champions League standard. If he's going to stick along with Marino on the left and, you know, someone like Klein or Milner on the right, that's the entire back line for me that doesn't really scare European clubs, you know. So depends if, I mean, and to be fair, for Liverpool and Klopp, just a simple group stages, maybe trying to get to the last 6, they might be all they're looking for. They might be firmly focused on the Premier League, but that team, that defensive line in particular, doesn't have the quality for me to be really going that far in the Champions League.
One signing I actually think could be fairly significant from a defensive standpoint, now hear me out here, Oxlade-Chamberlain has been signed by all accounts as a central midfielder. But the last 6 months, he's been playing as a wing-back at Arsenal, and I actually think he's a fairly decent wing-back. I mean, Oxlade-Chamberlain's one of those players who has struggled for a position, a bit of an attacking John O'Shea, really. You know, you don't really know where he fits in. A jack-of-all-trades, master of none, as they say. However, I think if you play him on the right side, part of the problem for Liverpool last season was when you have Milner on one side and Nathaniel Klein, who didn't have a good season last season, they don't have an outlet from the defence, so the pressure comes on the top of their defence and they don't have any way to get out. Now they've got Andy Robertson on the left, who as Scots we all rate as, you know, the greatest player since Dalglish,
of course,
and on the right, you know, Oxlade-Chamberlain has played in the right wing back position for Arsenal and England. He's got the pace to get up that side as well, and he's certainly an improvement on Nathaniel Klein. So while Klopp might be planning on using him in a central position, I think maybe in the long term it might be on the right where he has the biggest impact and alleviates some of that pressure on their defence.
Another one as well actually is Emre Can. He's actually been one of the most consistent performers actually recently, maybe the most improved player under Klopp actually, Liverpool. He plays centre mid, but he's got a huge back catalogue of playing right back, left back, centre back in Germany, and he's done that relatively well as well. In fact, I'm pretty sure he came through as a fullback at Leverkusen, perhaps. So he has history playing there, and you know, you don't want to take a player out of a good position where he's doing well, but push comes to shove, he's a solid right back if it comes down to it.
Do you know the reason Oxlade-Chamberlain went to Liverpool though was because he maybe had in his mind more of a chance of playing in his preferred position than if he went to Chelsea, for example?
Yeah, that is kind of the paradox of it is, you know, it sounds like he rejected a big pay rise at Arsenal, he rejected more money at Chelsea, and it sounds like he wanted to play in his position. So, you know, I wouldn't want to be Jurgen Klopp when he breaks it to him that maybe he'll have to play at fullback again.
Just touching on what you said about the lack of a true number nine, I mean, at the moment it seems to be not a big issue, particularly in the Premier League. They're kind of free scoring at the moment. Mane, Salah, Firmino all look great. Is this something that will catch up with them, or do you think this might just be the way that they play and it suits Klopp's side?
It certainly suits Klopp's side, and that's difficult to say. In the Premier League, it works quite well. I think it will be an issue when they come up against better quality sides in the Champions League, who will dominate possession more than Liverpool. Obviously, Liverpool themselves like to hold on to the ball, but if you come up against a Real Madrid or even a Barcelona, I know they're not quite the force they used to be, they'll hold on to the ball, and you need an outlet who can, it sounds all very old-fashioned, but it's true, you need someone who can hold the ball up and bring other attackers into the game, and I don't know if Roberto Firmino is that guy. Sturridge can do that to a certain extent, but as we've already mentioned, you know, you can't really rely on him.
Yeah, I think Klopp's style of football, this kind of, you know, the gegenpressing concept suits English football because, to a large extent, for me, English football is just 22 guys bouncing off each other usually. There's defensively and particularly...
Dodgers.
Yeah, it's like Dodgers, and defensively, a lot of Premier League teams aren't actually that well set up. So that's how football Liverpool play, actually, it works really well. European teams tend to play a lot slower, actually. They're much better at holding on to the ball, and they're much better at exploiting teams as well on the counter-attack. So it remains to be seen whether that can work as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, focusing more on this weekend, then, can you see Liverpool putting down a marker at the Etihad?
I can. I think Liverpool had a bit of a sticky start, and I think the Coutinho thing kind of overshadowed a lot at the club. I do feel like now that that's resolved, they'll kind of find their groove a little bit. And with City, if we're doing a comparison with Manchester City, obviously Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp, both Bundesliga figures, there's always a comparison there to be made. Man City have had massive overhaul of that squad. I do think they will improve, and I still have them as favourites for the title. But at the moment, there's a lot of moving pieces. I saw the other night Danilo was playing as a centre midfielder for Portugal, and he's a player who doesn't seem to have a position at Man City yet, so maybe he will be a Philipp Lahm. I remember speaking a few weeks ago saying, I can't see Danilo playing in central midfield. Well, it's happening already. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of moving pieces at City. I think Liverpool are much more settled, and particularly now with the Coutinho thing solved. I can see them getting a result at the Etihad this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, even before we were considering as title challengers, they had an exceptional record against top six sides last season in the Premier League. And that's largely down to the way Klopp's Liverpool play. They're set up usually to beat, or at least, you know, really frustrate bigger, better sides. And there's no bigger, more dysfunctional team in England right now than Man City, I'd suggest. So it's there for grabs, no doubt about it.
I think this weekend, Andy Robertson missed the game 2 weeks ago because his partner had a child, became a father. So this weekend there'll be a lot of space for him to gallop into behind those wing backs that City play. And I know the flip side of that is City will be looking at him going, well, there's a lot of space in behind him. So it could be a bit of a sprint down the touchline. But I think this could be a real kind of coming out party for him at the Etihad as a key figure for Liverpool. Because even though we've all seen the quality they had, and they scored one of the best Scotland goals we've ever seen the other night against Lithuania. I don't think that's really overplaying it. It was a magnificent goal. So we all know how good he is. I think some Liverpool fans aren't quite convinced of him yet because maybe he's come from Hull City, doesn't quite have that pedigree. But my prediction is this weekend Andy Robertson is going to have an absolute stormer, and this is going to be the moment he becomes a key figure for this Liverpool team.
Just finally, let's just... How has Klopp done so far as Liverpool manager?
I'd say he's done fantastic well, actually. I was a little sceptical when he came in because I thought he was often a wee bit often overlooked the defensive side of games, and he never had a backup plan tactically when he was at Dortmund. There was always one style, and if it didn't work, they just lost simply. He stuck by that style, and it's worked a treat at Liverpool, and it looks like the club are really getting behind him as well. He's buying the players he wants. They're building a squad, and people believe in him. So, you know, there's a momentum at Liverpool that is almost entirely down to his doing. So I'd give him, you know, he's done fantastically well so far.
Yeah, they've really bought into him as a character and a personality. It's interesting, Stefan mentions that, you know, Dortmund is falling down, he didn't have a plan B. I think maybe he might be tested in that regard in the Champions League this season. In the Premier League, as Stefan went into in depth earlier on, you know, it works well, his gegenpressing style. In the Champions League, that will be much more of a test, and that's maybe where some cracks might start to appear.
Thank you for listening to the Pundits podcast, sponsored by BetBright. We'll be back again next week with another episode.